Chapter 11.
I'm not gonna lie.
Naomi sighed as she flipped through the contacts on her phone.
I only know one guy from the OLG, and the only contact we've ever had is when my coven wanted to borrow some robes from them for a special ceremony we were doing. I don't even know if my contact still has my number. Or if he's still alive. If you hadn't noticed, being a member of the Order of the Lunar God is an activity that shortens your lifespan by, like, a lot. I hope Carter hasn't killed him.
Ada giggled as she slapped me on the shoulder.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Just try to call him, I said to Naomi. We just need to get a few of those fuckers here any way possible so we can test out the hex.
I assure you, it's solid. I wouldn't be a very good spellcaster if my spells didn't work, would I? No.
Janine shook her head.
But you also keep claiming you're still our enemy, so we can't trust you. Aww.
The goth beauty pouted and made goo-goo eyes at Janine.
And here I thought I'd earned your trust.
Not yet.
Leah interjected.
Prove to us the spell works, and then you're free to go.
And if it doesn't work...
Ada trailed off as she casually inspected her razor-sharp nails.
All right, all right.
Naomi rolled her eyes and then pressed the call button on her phone.
A bunch of pissed-off Khonsu worshippers coming right up.
The witch held her cell phone up to her ear and pursed her lips as she listened to it ring on the other end. My superhuman hearing picked up the sound of the phone as it rang three times, and then there was a loud dial tone, followed by the sound of a man's voice.
Hi, you've reached Kevin,
the voice began.
I'm not available right now, so if you leave a message after the beep, I'll hit you back ASAP.
Sounds pleasant. I chuckled to myself. There was a high-pitched beep, and then Naomi launched into her spiel.
Hey, Kevin. I don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm that member of the Sisters of the New Moon you guys lent all those robes to about 2 months ago. Anyway, I was just calling to let you know about some juicy information I think you'll find important. My sisters and I encountered that horrible bastard of Bass last night, and we tracked him down to a building on the east side of the city. Can't do it without your help, so if you could call me back ASAP, we could work together to kill this fucker for the glory of Khonsu.
Naomi hung up her phone and then promptly stuck out her tongue and gagged.
What's wrong?
Leah asked.
I thought that sounded pretty convincing.
Ugh, I had to pretend that the OLG and the Sisters of the New Moon were equals.
The witch said with a frown.
I hope I never have to do that again.
Let's just hope he calls you back. We need to be ready whenever he does.
Ready? Ready how?
Well, there's a lot of different ways somebody could try to sneak into this building, and I want to make sure each and every one of them is secure.
Using live test subjects, I assume.
Ada grinned. Exactly. I smirked. Or at least temporarily live test subjects.
You guys are fucking crazy.
Naomi said with a slight chuckle.
Honestly, if you weren't servants of Bast, you'd be pretty fun to be around.
We're not servants of anybody. I shook my head. Bast may have given me my abilities, but I have no loyalty to her.
Nevertheless, you're a creation of Bast, which makes you natural enemies with my coven.
Hold on. I trailed off as a light bulb turned on in my head. I don't think that's necessarily true.
How do you figure?
Naomi asked with her hands on her hips.
You serve Bast, and I serve the various deities of the moon that makes you my enemy.
So why are you still alive? I raised an eyebrow and smirked at the witch.
Because your kind, merciful, and stupid heart decided to let me live?
The red and black-haired woman half-asked. No, no, no. The Hex. If the Hex is supposed to keep out anybody who is my enemy, then how are you standing inside of my lounge right now? Naomi's dark brown eyes grew wide, and her face fell into a shocked expression as the color drained from her cheeks.
That's not how it works. The Hex doesn't kill any enemies that come into contact with it. They're just repelled by the magic and can't enter or attack. If they tried, their spells would bounce right back at them.
That still doesn't line up, love.
Ada said with a sly grin.
Why haven't you been repelled out of this space? If you're truly Carter's natural enemy who wishes to do him harm, then why aren't you outside right now and held at bay by the enchantment?
Now, Naomi's face started to turn bright red.
It's my own enchantment,
the witch proclaimed, as if she had just thought of the idea.
That's right, a spellcaster can't be affected by her own spell.
Ugh, bullshit,
Janine said through a knowing smile.
That's not how magic works at all.
What would you know of magic, changeling?
Naomi sneered.
Or you, succubus. You needed me to cast a simple hex. I may not be a powerful spellcaster.
Janine shook her head.
But I've studied more about occult magic than anybody else on this frickin' planet. I know spells will affect the caster just like anybody else. You like Carter, don't you?
Ada winked, and Naomi's face fell once more.
No!
The witch spat.
The second I'm back with my coven, we'll come up with a plan to get our revenge when you least expect it.
You don't sound so sure of that,
Leah noted.
Who are you trying to convince, exactly?
Naomi opened her mouth to speak, but before any words could come out, her phone began to ring. The witch frowned as she plucked it from her pocket, hit the green answer button, and then held it to her ear.
Is this the sister of the new moon?
A man's voice asked.
A sister of the new moon,
Naomi said with a roll of her eyes. And then she proceeded to look at us and give the jerk-off motion.
Am I to assume you received my message?
Loud and clear,
the man answered.
I have already assembled a team of 12 of my brothers, and we are ready to join your assault the second you tell us to be there.
You're in luck, then, because we're ready right now.
Oh, excellent! Where is the Bastard of Bast? Our prayers to Khonsu about his location have repeatedly gone unanswered.
The Tiger's Eye enchantment had worked, and Khonsu could no longer see us. More importantly, he couldn't tell his fanatics where to find us, which meant we could now move about as we pleased without having to worry about getting attacked every other day.
Are you familiar with Cincy's jewel?
Of course we are! Is that idiot really hanging out in the one place we know he'd be?
Looks like it.
Naomi lied.
But get over here quickly, or else my sisters will have to start the assault without you.
Oh, we'll be right there, for the glory of Khon...
Naomi rolled her eyes and hung up on the cultist before he could finish his sentence.
Ugh, fucking hell.
She said with a shudder.
I think I need to go, like, gargle Listerine after saying all those nice things to that motherfucker.
So, there'll be 12 of them,
Janine said as she turned to me.
Do you think we can handle so many?
I can handle that many on my own, I said with a smirk, without even transforming.
I'm just glad they decided to send such a small group. I would have figured they'd want to throw the whole kitchen sink at us.
I'm more insulted,
Naomi grunted.
They think 12 of their cultists are equal to my entire coven? What a fucking joke.
You can help us run the tests if you want. It might help de-stress you a little bit.
It might.
The witch nodded.
If I don't decide to kill all those creepy bastards on sight. Speaking of which,
Ada said with a raised finger,
we should probably find a place to hide. We want the OLG thinking they got the drop on us, but we also want to make sure we can sneak up and kill them at will.
I'll be the bait,
Janine offered.
I'll even take off my amulet to reveal myself to Khonsu.
Are you sure? That's a pretty risky move.
I know you four will have my back.
The red-haired woman smiled.
There's zero risk involved at all.
So you hang out in the building, I said with a nod, and lure them to you.
I'll stand outside, as if I'm waiting for them. Then once they get here, I'll run inside and hope they try to follow.
If the hex actually works, then they won't be able to get in at all.
And then Ada, Leah, and I can attack from behind. We'll capture these assholes, and then the real fun can begin.
Sounds like a plan.
Ada grinned devilishly from ear to ear.
Let's get into our places, shall we? I don't know how long it'll take for them to get here.
With that, we all headed to the door. Janine stopped just before she got to the main entrance, and then Naomi took a few steps outside and stopped in place. The second the rest of us were outside, Janine reached up to her neck and pulled the protective amulet over her head, and then she placed it on the ground. There was no going back now. Janine was now in full view of Khonsu. Up there, I whispered to Ada and Leah, as I pointed to a nearby three-story building. That'll be a good place to watch all this go down.
I'll race you to the top,
Leah declared, as she took a running start toward the structure.
It's not even a contest, love.
Ada snickered, and then her wings appeared from her back. Normally, I'd be worried somebody would see her, but it was still very dark outside, and a time when most people were still snoozing. Leah sprang up onto the side of the building, where her polywarm hands and feet stuck like they were covered in superglue, and the blonde woman proceeded to jump vertically up the structure in several large, comical bounds. Meanwhile, Ada simply shot upward like a falcon homing in on its prey. Then there was me. I wasn't going to turn into a full werepanther form just to climb a building, but I didn't really need to. I still had my super strength and agility when I was in my human form, and I could use that to my advantage. I took aim at a nearby fire escape, crouched down, and then launched myself forward. I flew up about 20 feet in the air, and then I grabbed onto the metal railing and hoisted myself onto the platform. Without missing a beat, I jumped up to the next level of the fire escape. And then the third time I repeated the action, I ended up on the rooftop itself.
Son of a bitch!
Ada huffed as she zipped over the edge.
How? How did you beat me?
Leah arrived a split second later, and her mouth fell open in a shocked expression when she saw I was already at our destination.
Wow. Before I started hanging out with you guys, I was actually the fastest person in my friend group.
What can I say? I shrugged. Being a bastard of Bast has its perks. Ada, Leah, and I all approached the side of the building facing Cincy's Jewel, and then we crouched down so our bodies were pressed up against the roof. We wanted to make ourselves as unnoticeable as possible until the last minute, but we still wanted to be able to see and hear what was going on down on the street level. We waited for several minutes before the robe-wearing fuckers finally arrived. I heard the cars first, three smaller vehicles, each one supercharged by the sounds of their engines. Then the cars went silent, and I heard the sound of opening and closing doors, followed by 12 sets of footsteps that were about 2 blocks away. They thought they were being sneaky by minimizing their noise, but they had no clue they were walking into a trap themselves. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed 12 figures come around the corner, clad in dark red robes. They all walked in a creepy, double-lined march that made them appear like they were moving as one. But the cultists then split up and fanned out when they got closer to Cincy's Jewel.
Finally.
Naomi huffed as she summoned silver magic into her hands.
I thought you guys were never gonna show.
Where is the bastard of Bast? One of the cultists demanded. And where is the rest of your coven?
Inside.
Naomi pointed to the building.
And already inside. Hence why they sent me out here to greet you. They've got the Werepanther and his friends holed up in a small room. They're doing their best to take him out as we speak.
Excellent, the lead OLG member said. Let this be the start of a long, prosperous partnership in the eyes of Khonzu. Naomi didn't respond to his comment, but I could hear her heart racing faster as her blood pressure increased. She really didn't like that idea.
Well,
Naomi grumbled as she turned and started to walk toward the door.
Let's get in there and finish him off.
For the glory of Khonzu!
The cultists declared in unison, and then they started to run toward the door. Naomi entered without a single issue, and the red-robed fuckers were right behind her. However, when they arrived at the doorway, there was a flash of black light, and they slammed into an invisible wall. All 12 of the bastards were running at full speed, so they hit the barrier hard, and then flew backwards in a chaotic heap, like bowling pins that had just been hit by a strike ball.
What the fuck?
One of them snapped as he stood back to his feet. Another cultist stood up and then walked over to the door once more. Again, when he arrived at the threshold, he just bounced off it like it was made of invisible rubber.
What is happening?
He snarled at Naomi, who was standing on the other side of the doorway.
Explain yourself, witch.
First off, it's sister,
Naomi growled.
And I don't fucking know. Maybe he hexed it against inferior magic users. Shall we spring the trap?
Ada whispered. Not yet. I shook my head. I want to see if their spells can break through the hex first. Then we can go down and attack.
How fucking dare you?
The cultist roared as silver magic lit up around his hands.
The children of Khonzu will not be insulted by a bitchy woman like yourself.
Come and get me then, fuckfaces.
Naomi stuck out her tongue and gave the OLG members 2 middle fingers.
I don't know what this game of yours is, witch.
One of the men growled.
But stop it right now, or you will face the full fury of Khonzu.
Oh, I'm quaking in my leather boots,
Naomi said, and then she blew a raspberry at the 12 men.
Enough of this,
another cultist spat.
Kill her!
Suddenly, all 12 of the men began to blast their spells at the doorway of Cincy's Jewel, and, just as quickly, the moonbeams ricocheted off and flew right back at them. The cultists yelped and gasped as they all jumped out of the way, but then they continued their assault the second they were back on their feet. However, their attacks still weren't getting through. The hex was holding up.
Now we can spring the trap. I nodded to Leah and Ada. Try to be as quiet as you can.
Leah got up on all fours and then slowly climbed over the edge of the building in an awkward, flat crawl. Ada, on the other hand, simply floated up a few inches off the ground and hovered over the side before she started to descend.
I figured my stealth powers gave me a shit ton of options, so I was gonna do the one that made me look the most badass. I got up into a crouch, and then proceeded to launch myself forward, over the side of the building. My hair whipped along the wind around me as I plummeted down toward the street below, and my feet slammed into the pavement with a hard impact that sent a quick jolt of pain up my legs. However, it didn't make a single sound. The OLG members were still focused on attacking Cincy's jewel, so they didn't even notice as my friends and I started to sneak up on them. The hardest part about this whole operation was going to be trying not to kill these assholes. As much as I wanted to just transform and then tear them all limb from limb, I needed them alive for the time being. That meant we were all going to have to pull our punches a little bit. I was able to sneak up behind two of the fuckers who were standing close together, so I took a deep breath and prepared to attack. Then, in one fell swoop, I reached up, clasped my hands on opposite sides of both their heads, and slammed them together. The cultists let out a quick yelp as their skulls smashed into each other, and then their bodies went limp. Meanwhile, Leah threw her tongue around one of the cultists' necks, before she yanked him down to the ground and started to drag him across the pavement. He kicked and gurgled as he was pulled back toward Leah, but soon his face turned blue as his body went completely limp. Then there was Ada, who simply snuck up behind the first man and slit his throat with her claws. He let out a small yelp as blood erupted from his jugular, and then he feebly tried to close off the wound with his hand as he stumbled forward. But it was no use. Within seconds, his eyes rolled back into his head, and he collapsed onto the ground as he bled out. "Ada, alive!" I hissed.
"Sorry,"
Ada whispered as she looked over at me.
"Force of habit."
Just then, one of the cultists twisted his head around, and his eyes opened wide.
"It's them! We've been set up!"
The cultist started to turn his body to face me, but I was on him before he even had a chance to react. I grabbed both his wrists and then squeezed as tightly as I possibly could, and the fucker screamed as his bones snapped like dry twigs. Then I reared my head back, brought it forward, and head-butted the cultist hard. His body went limp from the blow, and then he collapsed to the ground as I moved on to the next guy. I had to twist out of the way of a moonbeam as I made my way to him, but then I slid down onto the ground and made a sweeping kick at his feet. He gasped as my right foot took out both of his legs, and I quickly stood up and caught him as he fell. However, I wasn't trying to stop his fall. In fact, I not only wanted him to fall, but to fall hard. I placed my hand over the cultist's face and then gave his head a little extra shove as he fell. The fucker's head hit the ground with a wet crack, and his eyes rolled back in his head as a trickle of blood spread out on the pavement behind him. Still, I could tell his heart was still beating. He wasn't dead. He probably just had a really bad concussion with some possible brain damage. Leah's tongue whipped over my shoulder and grabbed onto a nearby cultist's hand. She yanked his arm to the right just as he unleashed a moonbeam, and the silver attack instead struck his nearby friend in the back. The second cultist gasped as he was tossed forward, where he slammed into a metal lamppost head-on and collapsed into a heap. Before the first cultist could even react, Leah retracted her tongue and started to drag him across the ground. That gave me an idea. I ran over so I was in the path of his trajectory, and then I pulled back my right leg like I was preparing to go for a home run and recess kickball. I held back as much as I could when I brought my leg forward, but I still heard a wet crack as the cultist's head whipped to the left at an awkward angle. His body went limp, and I heard him groan as he continued to get dragged across the ground. Still alive, but probably paralyzed. And then there were four. Actually three. Ada tossed an unconscious OLG member at my feet and smirked. "Alive?" I asked playfully.
"Indeed."
The succubus nodded, and then she quickly spun away from another moonbeam.
"Bastard of Bast!"
a cultist snarled as he ran toward me.
"Cover me, my brothers!"
The remaining two cultists raised their hands like they were going to attack, but then their bodies were instantly engulfed by a giant flash of silver magic.
"Oh."
Naomi clicked her tongue as she lifted the cultists into the air.
"Not so fast, boys. Who's the inferior spellcaster now?"
The charging cultist took a shot at me with his spell as he drew his dagger, but I rolled away from the attack and then swiftly jumped back as his weapon swished past the spot where my abdomen had just been. I instantly twirled around and took a swing at the fucker with my fist, and I heard a gnarly pop as I punched him in the side of the head. Blood flew from his mouth and nose as his noggin whipped to the side, but before he could recover, I raised up my boot and slammed it into his chest. The fucker grunted as he flew backward and slammed into the doorway of Cincy's Jewel, where he simply bounced off with a flash of black light and then fell onto all fours. I guess now's as good a time as any to test out the hex, I said to my friends as I stomped over to the cultist. First, we gotta see if these fuckers can just brute force their way through. The cultist spat out a mouthful of blood as he tried to get back onto his feet, but it was too late for him. I grabbed him by the throat, knocked away his dagger, and then held him in the air as he flailed and yelled like a little bitch. Then I walked over to the doorway of the lounge and slammed him into the open doorway as hard as I could. There was a flash of black light as his body hit the invisible barrier, as well as a loud, wet crack.
Ah!
He screamed.
My spine! I think you broke my...
Before he could finish his sentence, I slammed him into the doorway again, and this time I held him there. He yelled as the black light pushed back against his body and pinned him between myself and the hex, but I wasn't going to let up. I pushed the man's body harder, and he began to gurgle and froth at the mouth as he continued to flail like a rag doll. I gave it one last effort, and the fucker's head snapped forward at a 90-degree angle with a loud pop. His body went limp, so I tossed it to the side. Welp, I said as I brushed my hands together. It looks like it works on the doorway for sure.
What do you want to test next?
Ada asked with a gleeful smile.
Yeah, you guys are crazy!
One of the cultists trapped in Naomi's spell blubbered. Says the men who dress up in robes and sacrifice people in the forest, I shot back. Let's see, the windows, for sure. Those are always going to be an easy point of entry.
Windows,
Leah noted.
Got it!
The polywarm woman's tongue shot out and wrapped around an unconscious cultist's throat.
I'll aim for the one on the right,
Ada said, as she picked up another unconscious cultist.
You take the one on the left.
1, 2, 3,
Leah muttered, and then she whipped her head to the right and tossed the cultist straight into the left window of Cincy's Jewel. He struck the window head first, and there was a sickly crack as his neck bent to the right and the bones of his spine stabbed out through the side of his throat with a splash of blood. Then Leah let go of the poor bastard, and his corpse fell down to the sidewalk with a dull thud. Ada, on the other hand, took a way different approach. The succubus held the cultist's body in front of her own as she flew up into the air and squared up with the right window of the lounge. Then she took a deep breath before she turned her body horizontally and shot forward like a bat out of hell. I watched as Ada slammed into the window at full speed, and I let out a cringe when the cultist's body exploded into a spray of blood, guts, and bone fragments. His torso literally was now nothing but a crimson smear against the side of Cincy's Jewel, and his appendages plopped down onto the ground below.
Yep,
Ada declared as she landed and looked down at the blood on her body.
The windows are definitely protected.
I wish Tony was here, I sighed as I looked up at the building. He'd know all the potential security risks of this place for sure.
The air vents!
Janine's voice said, as she wandered out into the street.
They could try to climb in through the air vents.
On it?
Ada giggled as she picked up the paralyzed cultist and flew up into the night sky.
No!
He gasped, as the succubus carried him to his demise. We all watched as Ada stopped in front of one of the giant grates that helped circulate our air outside, and then she grabbed the cultist by the hair. She then proceeded to press his face up against the vent, and he let out a scream as his head was forced into the small space. There was a small flash of black light as she tried to push him through, but then he let out one final yelp as his body went limp. Ada dropped the corpse of the cultist back to the ground, and when it landed, I noticed he now had a bunch of small, bloody, horizontal lines across his face.
All good,
the succubus noted as she landed.
They're not getting in through the vents, either.
Oh, fuck this!
One of the cultists inside Naomi's spell gasped.
Help! Somebody, anybody, help us!
Naomi's eyes narrowed, and then she quickly stepped outside the threshold of Cincy's Jewel. As she did so, the witch began to shrink the perimeter of her telekinetic spell, which decreased the space her captives had to move around in.
Oh, fuck!
One of them gasped when they realized what she was doing.
We gotta get out of here!
Try as they might, though, the two poor bastards were trapped. We all watched with macabre curiosity as the space around them grew smaller and smaller, until finally they were smashed up against the invisible barrier by Naomi's spell. The air was filled with wet cracks, snaps, and pops as their bodies began to contort into unnatural shapes. and the two men screamed as they were turned into unwilling contortionists. Finally, the space was too small, and they both exploded into a mess of blood and bones.
God, those guys were annoying.
Naomi grumbled as she stepped back outside.
What do we need to test next?
The flue pipe,
Janine said, as she pointed to the ceiling.
It's big enough for a human to squeeze through, and it would give them access to our furnace.
We better test that out then, I said with a nod. Ada, you want to call your cleaners? We're already making a major mess.
Right away, love.
The succubus nodded, and then she pulled out her cell phone. Meanwhile, I picked up two of the passed out cultists, and Leah wrapped her tongue around the three others. The polyworm climbed up the side of Cincy's jewel, but I simply made it to the rooftop with a single leap. The flue pipe was right over by the north end of the building, nestled right beside the rooftop access door. You know, we have to try that one, too, I said as I nodded to the door. Just in case.
Just in case,
Leah repeated in a playful, matter-of-fact tone. I sauntered over to the door, pulled it open, and then slung one of the men down from over my shoulder. He let out a soft groan as I picked him up, and then I pushed him forward. Much to my surprise, he passed through the threshold without much fanfare. Ah, son of a bitch. I don't think we have protection up here.
Are you sure? Might just be further down the staircase.
I supposed there was only one way to find out. So I pulled the cultist's body back and then tossed him down the stairwell as hard as I could. His body slammed into the concrete stairs and then contorted awkwardly as he violently rolled down the staircase. Finally, about 10 feet down, there was a flash of black light and his crumpled body came to a stop. No heartbeat. Never mind. I got it figured out.
Good,
Leah noted, as she jumped up onto the top of the roof access door.
'Cause these three are starting to wake up.
I crouched down and then jumped up onto the structure beside Leah. Instantly, I walked over to the flue pipe, pulled off the half-dome top, and then looked down inside. The hot air whipped against my face, and I wondered what kind of crazy fuckers would even want to try and crawl down through here. Still, we had to test it out. Drop 'em in, I said with a nod. Leah moved her tongue so the three men were positioned over the open flue, and then, one by one, she dropped them into the pipe. They woke up in a fucking instant. Screams echoed through the metal pipes along with a bit of sizzling, as their flesh was seared by the burning hot pipes. And when I peeked down inside, I saw all three of them were on top of each other, writhing as they tried to get out of their tiny prison. The barrier must have worked. I placed the top of the pipe back on as the fuckers continued to scream, but I knew they'd go silent soon. There was no way they would be able to survive the intense heat of the pipe, along with the burn marks they'd be getting from the hot metal. By the time Ada's cleaner got here, they'd be long gone. I hopped over the edge of the building and landed silently down on the street. Ugh. You're going to need to tell your guy there are people in the flue pipe, I explained as I pointed to the roof, and in the top stairwell.
So, my hex did work?
Naomi crossed her arms across her chest.
Told you so.
There's still one more test to do, I explained, as I gestured to the last cultist. Hence why this guy is still alive. We gotta test the one other structural flaw I can think of. The one that let the muck dwellers into our lounge.
The sewers? Ugh, gross.
You don't have to go.
Well, I most certainly am. I want to see whatever macabre fun you have planned for the last cultist.
So we proceeded to the nearby sewer lid, and I pried it up. Thanks to my enhanced werepanther strength, it was as easy as pulling the lid off a can of Play-Doh, and within seconds, I had the manhole cover placed to the side. Unfortunately, this was one place where my enhanced sense of smell didn't come in handy. My nostrils were instantly assaulted by the stench of raw sewage and human waste, but I was just going to have to suck it up for now. Then, with the cultist still slung over my shoulder, I turned around and began down the ladder, down into the smelly abyss. Ada flew down beside me, and her face scrunched up into a foul expression when she caught a whiff of the stench.
You sure you want to come along? It's only going to get worse from here.
I'm in it for the long haul, Carter.
Ada shuddered.
Even if it means wading through literal shit to get there.
The succubus and I began down the sewer tunnel, and we treaded carefully as we tried to remain on the thin paved pathway along either side. I held out the cultist's body as we walked, and I just hoped we would eventually come to a point where we hit the black magic barrier.
What the fuck?
The man gasped as he woke up, but he suddenly began to flail around in my grasp.
Where the fuck am I?
Ah, shit, I growled. I knew that was going to happen eventually. I picked up my pace and held the man tightly as he continued to writhe around, but I kept him in front of me at all times. Finally, we hit the barrier. The cultist let out a yelp as a flash of black light filled the sewer tunnel, and I fell back onto my ass right onto the pathway. Unfortunately for the cultist, he didn't hit the pavement. The poor bastard went under the liquid sewage, and when he popped back up, he was gagging and spitting like mad. Drowning by sewage was something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, so I decided to end this guy quickly. I snatched him out of the sewage, spun around, and then slammed him into the concrete wall of the sewer, hard. His body went limp as his head jerked back, but I could still hear his heart beating. So I slammed him into the wall again, then again, and again, until I finally heard his pulse go silent. I tossed the fucker's body into the sewage with a long sigh, and the current swept it away.
Fuck.
Ada purred as she traced her fingers around my pecs.
It's so hot to watch you go all badass like that.
Yeah, I appreciate the attention and all, but maybe we should wait until we're not surrounded by literal human waste.
Good call.
The succubus winked, and then she turned back the way we came. We walked over to the ladder and climbed up out of the sewer, where we were greeted by the smiling faces of Naomi, Leah, and Janine.
I assume it worked?
Janine asked with a hopeful tone as she adjusted her glasses. It worked. There's no way the OLG or any of their friends are getting into the club. My friends all broke out into gleeful squeals, while Naomi flashed me a smug smirk, and I couldn't help but smile with satisfaction. Now, Cincy's jewel was fully protected. We had a place where we could be safe from all this bullshit once and for all. And if I worked on Naomi just a little bit more, I was sure I could win us over our own resident witch.